Well, we appreciate all the work that went into our ladies' night, and every report I got was that it was a success, and we appreciate the ladies, and also we had some men that helped with that, and thankful for that good outreach effort and the encouragement for our ladies. Also, we've begun a new program and ministry where we have two of our men each service offering valet parking and also monitoring our halls, especially during our classes and worship period and things. Let me invite you, especially if you are going to be here, moms, by yourself, without dad, some, and it's raining, just pull up there and let them park the car. Or if you are coming alone and you are we especially want to think about some of our older ladies who don't have a man for them, as one said, to park that car for them anymore. Pull up underneath one of the awnings, preferably this one be the quickest you come to, and just get out and hand the keys to one of those gentlemen, and they'll park the car and then bring the keys back to you inside the foyer, and you can sit down, and after services, they'll be glad to go and get it and the car and bring it so you to have easy access. So if you have a need for that, please use that, and it's for anybody that has that need. Take advantage of it, especially on a day rainy like today. Strong families, strong church. I believe that one of the things that we need to be doing if we want to have a strong church is building strong families. In Joshua chapter 24, the Bible says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. If it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." What a famous line that is. It's on many of our homes in various decorated forms. One of my favorites was when I was growing up, my grandparents had a booth-style table at their house, and it would just hold four people. And they had above one side of that this sign, "Choose you this day whom you will serve, and it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And it was always up there. But for whatever reason, one day, one of my cousins looked up there and was reading that sign. And about that time, it started to shake and fell off the wall. I think one of them hit the wall or something about that time. But that sign, we always remember it falling off the wall. And it was maybe my granddad was trying to beat that into our head, is that you've got to choose whom you're going to serve. But it's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And so it's really a choice that every family has to make. When we think about families, I want you to be thinking about, no matter what situation you're in, I'm talking to you. You may think I'm just talking to the traditional family which has children in their home, but you may be in an elderly couple. You may be a single widow lady or widower. You may be a young person in their 20s. I want you to think that these things still apply to you, though we are thinking especially about those families who are raising children at this time, who are raising grandchildren at this time. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Strong families will produce a strong church. I want to share four things with you that we need to have in our homes if we're going to have a strong family. Number one, strong families are strong in the Word. They're strong in the Word. Is the Bible loved and revered in your home? I've done several funerals where the family will bring up a Bible. It is the matriarch or the patriarch of the family, and they'll pull out that Bible and they'll say, "This was Dad's Bible. This was Mom's Bible." Oh, I think about many times seeing her read that Bible. And they'll open up the pages of that Bible, and the Bible will be tattered, and it will be well marked, and it will have some tears and nicks, and maybe the cover is worn. They'll talk about Mom's Bible, Grandma's Bible. They'll talk about the significance that the Bible had in that person's life. You know that. It probably happened in your family. You've gone to the funeral home and gone home. You've looked on that table and there was that Bible. You've talked about how Grandma loved the Bible. Now, she read the Bible so much. You know, Grandma didn't just become a Bible-loving person. when she was in her 80s. She read and loved the Bible. She was in her 30s, 40s as well. You see, what kind of a person are you? What kind of example are you setting for your children? Do they see you studying your Sunday school lesson and prioritizing the Bible? How is the Bible viewed? How is it spoken about in your home? In other words, do we reference it when someone asks a question or when we're thinking about how we should deal with it? Do we ever say, well, you know, I think God would want us to do this. Do we say, well, you know, there's that teaching over there we call the golden rule. And I think we really need to apply what Jesus says here. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. See, do we reference the Bible? Do we speak as if the Bible is the authority and we are under the Bible because the Bible is God's Word? You see, do we value sermons and Bible study in our classes? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul would write to the Colossian brethren about being filled with the Word of God. In verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. He wants the word of Christ to dwell in us richly, just to fill us up. And of course, what would a lesson on families be without referencing Deuteronomy chapter 6, where Moses would teach the children of Israel that basic commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And then he says to them, you shall teach them, verse 7, diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Talking about how the Word of God should constantly be before us. We should be talking about it and reading it. Do we have family devotionals? Do we talk about Scripture? You see, a strong family is strong in the Word. The Bible needs to be the foundation of our home. We need to have a respect for it and a reverence for it. Strong family begins with being strong in the Word. But number two, a strong family is strong in service to God. Back in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua would say to the children of Israel, he uses the term, fear the Lord and serve Him. And then he says, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river. And he talks about, if it's evil in your eyes, to serve the Lord. Three times we find this phrase, serve. We're supposed to be serving the Lord, he's talking about, and offering our service. But there's this action component to our faith. James says in chapter 2, 14 through 26, that faith without works is dead. That our faith is not just supposed to be this mental assent or intellectual belief, but really it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. Where our life is where our action is. Our service, our duties, our jobs, the things we do. And so a strong family is one who's strong in service. You see, strong families aren't just focused on selfish pursuits, but they have a heart for helping their fellow friends, brethren, and family members. They're involved in service. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. And Peter talks about using our gifts and our talents to serve others. Chapter 4, verse number 8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. One of the things that we often hear and we think about with strong families, Hebrews chapter 13 talks about this as well, is hospitality and service for our fellow man. When you think about a strong family, are you involved in service? When you think about our local church, we have all kinds of volunteering opportunities. I was just complimenting our ladies night And that gives a lot of opportunities for people to volunteer and serve, to get involved. But we have those throughout the year. We think about from our Bible school program and how we need aides and Bible school teachers and we need nursery workers and we need people all the time for this. For what we've been putting out for this valet and safety hall monitor, we need men to serve in that capacity. We need men leading in our worship. We need people to host family or host youth devotionals. We're going to be beginning to gear up for the summer when we'll have some big activities like Vacation Bible School. And Ryan has several youth activities throughout the summer. We need volunteers and chaperones and people to serve. We're going to do We Are the Sermon Days again on May the 3rd and June the 7th, where we will spend the afternoon doing some type of service here at the church building and also out in our community. Strong families, when they hear those things, when they hear the church is going to be doing this, they don't think that's for somebody else. They think that's for us. Because if we don't do it, it's not going to get done. See, they view it like we are the ones who need to do that because we are the servants. We have a role in that. And so we think about strong families. We think about being servants. But let me say this too. Strong families don't just volunteer and do things for the local church, but it's a way of life for who strong families are. Maybe they take food to the family down the road who's lost a loved one. Or they babysit for a single mom when she's got to run out to Walmart. Or they help a troubled teen out. Or they see someone at Walmart who's could use a little help and they offer their assistance. You see, strong families are those who are servants by nature, and the children grow up seeing a family that does things for others. Here's the reason: because of their faith. They're servants because of their faith. Strong in service. Number three, strong families are strong in faithfulness. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is talking, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." And it's obvious that the basic context is about faithfulness and loyalty and commitment is what we're talking about. You see, they had served the gods beyond the river. They had struggled with some of those gods and even the gods of Egypt. But he says, choose you this day whom you'll serve, whether it be these gods in this foreign land. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to be loyal. We're going to be committed to the Lord. The level of faithfulness he's talking about. You know, a church needs faithful families. If a church is going to be strong, just like a chain, if it's going to be strong, it's going to be dependent upon the links of the chain. And so the families of the church, the individuals of the church, determine the strength of a church. When we think about faithfulness, we're thinking about commitment and loyalty. You see, people that can be depended upon through thick and thin, people that value the church and they're not there just for what the church can give them, but they're there to serve the church and they're going to be faithful to the Lord. They're going to be faithful to His people. We think about faithfulness, of course, we think about our involvement in worship and in Bible classes. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Bible speaks about why we should care about faithfulness. In verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised, God, is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's see, our presence makes a difference. Let's stir up one another. Notice verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but in encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Is the day here, I don't think, is the day of judgment, but rather I think it's Sunday. It's the Lord's day. He's saying we need to be excited and anticipating and looking forward and stirring up one another for our coming togethers. The times when we meet, times when we gather. You see, faithfulness comes down also to our attendance. So many times we think, well, I'm not doing a lot, or I don't have a responsibility there. Maybe this is some time where you don't have any set thing in worship or Sunday school. And I want you to know that your attendance, your presence, makes a tremendous difference. And that not only does it make a difference for you, but it also makes a difference for the church. Strong families are strong in faithfulness. One of the things that I appreciate, and certainly I don't want to give the impression that my family growing up was a perfect family. But one thing I appreciate about my youth and growing up is their faithfulness. And I was taught from a young age that when the doors were open, we were going to be there. And that commitment and that faithfulness. And I remember many times Dad rushing in on Wednesday night, and maybe changing clothes, and us going to Bible study, and then him eating after Bible study on Wednesday night. And the priority of us when we would go on vacation, if we were going to go, we would often go to Mountain Home, Arkansas, and to the lakes over there during the summer. But we would always make sure that we would attend worship both in the morning and in the evening. And we would have to make sure we scheduled our trip like that. There was a priority in worship attendance. We're talking about faithfulness. And yes, sometimes we may think, well, what difference does that make? That sends such a message that we're committed. We're committed. You know, there should not be always this choice and this debate when it comes to services. Well, we'll decide then. Are we going to go? We're going to go this Sunday. Well, it's raining this Sunday. We can't go do anything else. Let's go to church this Sunday. Are we going to go to class this week? Well, we had a late Saturday night. We'll probably skip this week. We'll be at class next week. Just determined. You're going to be at class. This morning I was getting Caleb ready for church, and I said, yeah, we got to get dressed. Well, of course, like usual, you know, Sunday morning, you're running around trying to get everybody dressed and out the door. We got to get dressed, Caleb. Come on, we got to get you dressed. And I said, because we got to go to church. And Caleb said, and class. I have news for you. This may surprise you. Yeah, I'm talking about you, aren't I? But Caleb was a whole lot more excited about class than he was me preaching. I know, it's surprising. But the kids love class. They want to go. But you know what? Caleb did not say, I'm going to go drive myself, Dad. I'm going to go drive. Only way Caleb was going to get to class is if I brought him. You see, we have a responsibility of faithfulness and of dedication. And what a difference it makes when we have that loyalty and that commitment. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:2 that a steward must be found faithful. Now, certainly that doesn't all involve attendance. There's a lot of factors in faithfulness. There's commitment and loyalty. But a strong church depends upon the faithfulness of its members. Faithfulness in contributions, faithfulness in attendance, faithfulness in service. Faithfulness to be through the thick and thin of life. You know, church works has its up and its down. Churches have their good times and their bad times. We need people to be faithful through the good times, through the bad times. And so be faithful. And then finally, strong in priorities. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. 2 Kings 20, verse 1. There's a story told in several places, but same story about Hezekiah, the king, and he was sick, and he was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came to him, and he said a real encouraging thing to him. And he's about to die, and the prophet comes. He's probably thinking, hey, this is good. The prophet's going to tell me I'm going to get well. Maybe the prophet's going to heal me. But the prophet comes, and he says, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall die. And you shall not recover. You're not going to get better from the sickness. Now the story is that Hezekiah prays. And Hezekiah begs. And Isaiah returns and says, you've got 15 more years. But that's not the emphasis I want to have. The emphasis I want to have is the statement. Set your house in order. When it comes to our families, strong families need to examine. Think about it, the order of our house. You know, sometimes we wait till we get some kind of a sickness like Hezekiah had. We go to the doctor and the doctor says, I'm sorry, but you've got this condition. Or we allow the clock to pass on and pass on until finally we realize we're getting old. We need to start thinking about our priorities. But what Isaiah says is, set your house in order. Think about your priorities. You know, there's two basic models for this that I like to talk about. That is choosing to cheat, as I've done some sermons on that and things. That is that you've got to choose what areas are going to be cheated, because there's not enough of you. There's not enough of time. There's not enough of money. There's not enough of you to go around to do everything that everybody wants and to be everything to everybody and to pursue every activity. You've got to choose what areas are going to be cheated. And here's the thing. So many times God and the church, because they're not the most urgent always, get put on the bottom of that list. So we need to re-examine our priorities. Think about this model, where Jesus is the center of our home. And you see, we don't just line up our priorities, God and family and work, but we do it more in the sense of wherever we're at and whatever we're doing, Jesus is a part of it. He is the focus. He's the bullseye. And Jesus influences our faith, our recreation, our money, our family, our friends, and our work. He is the priority. So He runs through everything. And we are a light for Him. And the way we recreate, the way we spend our money, the way we interact with friends and family, and the way we handle our work, all is influenced by Jesus. When I was a young preacher, I was down in Tennessee, and there was a lady there I like to go visit, Miss Mary Rush, and she was a widow lady, and she told me this story. I guess she was probably telling it to me to teach me. She said there was this preacher, and I forget his name. She knew his name. And she said he preached a powerful sermon. She said, I never will forget this sermon. It was on a gospel meeting night, and she said he had a booming voice, and it was entitled, Set Your House in Order, from 2 Kings 21. And she said he echoed it that night in the building, Set Your House in Order, and he would just let that statement boom, and he just preached the whole lesson about people need to get their priorities in line. They need to get their life in line. They need to get your spiritual life right with God before it's too late. And then she said, that's when he was younger. But now, his life had changed. He had a lot of problems in his family. I don't remember all the details. A lot of problems. And I think, if I remember it correctly, it had even caused him to leave the ministry and maybe even the faith. And she said, I often think about that sermon. And she said, I often ask myself this question. Does he ever think about setting his own house in order now? You know, as we think about setting our house in order, it's something that all of us can talk about. We can know what we should do. We can even preach it. But living it, that's the challenge. And that's where all of us need to put our focus. And so when we think about strong families, strong church, we want families that are strong in the Word, strong in service, strong in faithfulness, and strong in priorities. Now let me just ask you this. What would our church look like if we were all stronger as families, if our grandparents here were stronger families, if our widows and widowers were stronger in their faith, what about those of us who are raising children? If we were stronger, if we had greater and better attendance and service and dedication, wouldn't it be awesome if on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, our Bible classes over here for our young people were overflowing? We've got more space now so we can handle it. Wouldn't it be awesome if we have over 200, 250 at our Wednesday night Bible study? Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities if our families get stronger. And how, when our families get stronger, our church will be stronger. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, set your house in order. As together we stand and sing.